Once a man had a vision of the Lord, and he asked him, "Lord, is it really true that for you a thousand years is like a day?" The Lord said, "More like a minute." "And Lord, what would $1 million be like to you?" "Like a penny." "Lord, can I have a penny?" "In a minute." Waiting. It's so hard, isn't it? There was a test in the 1960s that a psychologist did. It's been repeated around the world. Maybe you've heard of it before. The one marshmallow test. You ever heard of that? They had little children in a science lab, and they told them they would put a marshmallow in front of them. "You can have this marshmallow right now if you want, or if you can wait for 5 minutes, when I come back, I'll let you have two marshmallows." So there were the kids staring at that delicious, puffy, yummy marshmallow. And some of them couldn't give in, couldn't help it. They gave in. Others of them waited, and they got rewarded. They tracked these children. And apparently the ability to wait is a sign of higher intelligence and the ability to be kind of self-starters in school and a lot of confidence and a lot of things. It's certainly a worthy thing for us to want to aspire to. And maybe, just maybe, that's why God allows the test of waiting to come into our lives so often. We may not be waiting for $1 million, but there are a lot of things we wait and hope for, don't we? We wait for good news. We wait for good calls. We hope for doctors to give us good reports. And the waiting is so hard, such a challenge. I think part of it is because in the middle of that, the devil can get in there with all of his worries and all of his what ifs and all of the ways he can stir fear in us and separate us away from God. But God gives us this great idea, this great moment when he said there, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." It's a funny thing. Some translations nowadays don't put "wait" in there anymore. They actually translate it as "hope." And it's interesting that the hope and waiting and awaiting are all bundled up into one thing. While I am in this moment where not everything is the way I would want, or I am in this moment where not everything is the way I need, I'm waiting. Not waiting passive. "There's nothing for me to do." But waiting in faith, focused on God. Waiting in hope, believing that God will keep his promises of justice and mercy for all. Waiting and believing that the God who said, "I am making all things new," will keep those promises and bring them forth for us. Waiting. A lot of waiting we have to do in this life. As I thought about this, one is waiting for doors to open, or maybe another way to say is waiting for hearts to open. Have you ever had that realization that you were in a conversation with someone, maybe it was one of your children or a sibling, a spouse, and you know, you sort of jumped the gun and said something before you needed to? If you had just waited, the conclusion, the reality of it would have been clear to them, wouldn't have needed you to, what as they call it now, mansplaining, to go on ahead and be there ahead of things. It's hard for us to wait for the open door. But sometimes somebody isn't ready to hear what God wants them to hear, or isn't ready to know and to do what God might want them to do. And sometimes that someone is even us. We can learn patience, and I think one of the most wonderful people or entities we can learn patience from is from God himself. Love is patient. Love is kind. Do you know how patient God is? Not only does he separate our sins as far as the east is from the west, and not only does he say 1,000 years is like a day, but he has been waiting and letting this world go on and on and on, so that more people might be saved and so that more of us might be involved in that process. And it's not the first time God's waited. Way back in Genesis chapter 5, God looks and he sees, and even into Genesis chapter 6, he sees the sinfulness of the world that he has made, especially of people's hearts. Once they turned away from God, the sin grew worse. We're experiencing that, aren't we? You know, when you and I were young children, did they have the pictures of kids on milk cartons? Did they have to advertise amber alerts and silver alerts and all these things? That stuff didn't exist. Because mankind has gotten even more evil in their inclinations. Well, when God at that point with Noah in Genesis chapter 6 had realized he had had enough, he needed to start over. He was going to wipe out all of the earth with a massive flood and then allow a new birth of humanity to come through righteous Noah and his sons. But God had to wait. God gives the instructions to Noah. Hey, Noah, I want you to build an ark. I want it to be big enough that it's going to be able to hold about 300 boxcars worth of animals of all different sizes. If you ever saw the circus train at one point in your life, I know it was a thrill for me when I saw it come through our town with all those, you know, the giraffes neck sticking out of the boxcar and everything else. Just amazing to see. But imagine 300 boxcars worth of animals. That's how big the ark was. And it took Noah, Genesis 6 tells us, somewhere between 75 and 100 years to build it. God saw how evil humanity was, but in order to work his plan, he waited. And he places that test of waiting before us. Wait. Pray and wait. Not pray and then you do what you want to do and ask God to clean up your mess afterwards, which we so often do, but pray and wait for God to give an answer. In our reading from Romans, we heard about this idea, this tension, this invitation for us to wait. God, who did what he did with Noah and restarted the world, then came through his son Jesus Christ and restarted and changed us from the inside. And the reality is we're already full-blown adopted children of God, but the full reality and experience of that hasn't manifested itself. It isn't shown. We still experience the stiffness of arthritis, the ringing of ears, the disease, and the limitations of time and exhaustion and all of our struggles. Or as Paul was inspired to write, even we who have the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the full adoption to sonship and daughtership, the redemption of our bodies. It isn't fully done until we're there in heaven. And even then, it isn't fully done until the last trumpet call of Jesus, when the dead in Christ will rise and our bodies will be reunited with our spirits and renewed and glorified to be like his. Only then does eternity really begin. But the reality of it's already there. This thing that theologians long ago called the now, not yet. I know I'm loved by God in the here and now, but I'm not yet experiencing all of it. I know I'm loved by him, but I still have struggles and fears and longings, and it's hard to wait. When we were children, it was awfully hard to wait for Christmas, wasn't it? So hard. You know, that's probably why I think the Germans and their wisdom used to only pretty much do it for one day, right? You remember this? Back in the old days, you didn't put your tree up on the day after Thanksgiving. You waited till Christmas Eve, and then in the parlor where it had been closed off, the parlor opened and there was the tree and there were all the gifts that might be there waiting for you. And that just happened in one day. But kids waited and waited, and it was so hard. But God also waits, and God also renews our strength. In Isaiah 40, I've referenced it before, but we can remember, even while we're waiting, even while it seems that the things we pray about haven't been resolved yet, we can hear these words spoken in Isaiah, and we can realize God speaking them to us. Why do you complain? Why do you say my way is hidden from the Lord, and it's as if my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, and he won't grow tired or weary. He knows we grow tired and weary, and that's why he invites us to wait on him. In my office, I have a little place that if my phone's running low, I can charge it. I don't plug it in with a cord anymore. I just lay it on this little plate. And when it's waiting there on that plate, it gets renewed and recharged. And when we take time to stop and pray, to, as Scripture tells us in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. When we are still and wait, He can remind us of His promises. He can act instead of us just jumping ahead and acting. We give room for Him. And His answer may be yes, and it may be no, and it may be wait some more. In the Revelation chapter 6, there were some people, those who are described as martyrs, who had given their life in testimony and witness to believing in Jesus and trusting in Him. They had died, whether, you know, by the lions or the gladiators or whatever it is that happened to them. And the scene in Revelation is they cry out from underneath the altar, Lord, how much longer must we wait for You to avenge our blood from those who took our lives away from us for Your sake? And God gives them a little robe, and God gives them a little encouragement. Wait just a little bit longer. Because the number of My church, the number of My beloved children is not yet reached its full measure. You and I do not know when that day is. But just like they count the burgers on the McDonald's signs, at some point the number that God wants will be reached. And this world will end. Someday, the number of your days or mine will reach what God had already determined, and it will end in this world, but never end with Him. And until then, we trust, we dig in, we do good. In Psalm 37, the one we had the hymn about, I want to not just hear the paraphrase in the hymn, but I'd love for you to hear some of the words that are there. In verse 3, we read, trust in the Lord and do good. Meaning, while we're waiting, do the good around you that you see to do. Keep on doing the good, godly things that He's revealed to us until we get the understanding or we get the answer. We do the next right thing or the last thing that God told us to do. While we're doing that, verse 4 tells us, take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desire of your heart. While we're waiting, we may not have the material thing that we need, or we may not have the restoration of the relationship, but we can still find joy and peace and strength when we delight in Him. And isn't God better than a 4K big screen TV? Isn't God's mercy and love going to last a whole lot longer than any car you and I can buy, or any piece of clothing that we might want to own, or anything else? So we trust in to keep doing good. We take our delight in Him better than any food or anything in this earth. And verse 5 says, we commit our way to the Lord. We trust in Him and He will do it. It's so tempting to take shortcuts. It's so tempting to say, well, I'm sure this is what God would want me to do. I'm sure God wants me to have this. And we jump and we grab instead of waiting. And when we instead commit our ways to Him, if He wants me to have it, He will. If He wants this to happen, it will happen. If He wants that person's heart to open and hear what it is that they need to hear, He'll do it. I will wait. And when we wait, verse 6 promises us that He will make His righteous reward shine like the dawn. When we wait, verse 7 tells us, and are still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him, even when we see other people succeed and it might tempt us to fret, yet we wait and put our hope in Him. He'll give us this test over and over, so we'll get better at it. Our hope muscles, our patience muscles will get a little bit stronger. He'll give it to us again and again. For even Jesus had to wait. He waited in the garden for God's answer. God, if it's possible for You to take this cup away from me, do so. But Not my will, yours be done. He waited and trusted the plan that his heavenly Father had. And look at the fruit that it's borne of the billions around this world who trust and believe in him now. And Jesus wants us to watch with him. He said to his disciples, watch and pray with me that you don't give in to temptation. Let's wait. 5 minutes a day of prayer, 15 minutes a day of prayer, waiting on him, delighting in him, and not in the other things of this world, can bring us so much more peace, so much more strength, so much more perspective. And his love, which is patient and kind, will fill us as well. That's my prayer for you, and I hope that we can indeed pass that test with his strength. And may God be glorified as he gives us strength as we wait. Amen.